Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Discover a healthcare team that's always here for you at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Good morning and welcome to the programme. Today, fallout continues from that extraordinary merger between the PGA Tour and the Saudi-backed LIV Golf. Nearly half of Vienna's residents live in some form of social housing. Can we learn from abroad to help solve the crisis here? We discuss a risk of repeating the mistakes of the 2000s. Minister for Public Expenditure Pascal Donoghue on that Fiscal Advisory Council warning. Evelyn visits the Criminal Courts of Justice to meet the team supporting victims of crime through the courts process, and recognising pain in your pet, vet Sarah Boland on the top things to look out for in your cat or your dog and how to know when to get help. And with the Leaving and Junior Cert underway, we'll have advice for students and parents from expert Donica O'Mahony, and Donica will take questions too. So you can text us 51551 or email todaycb@rte.ie. Now, flood levels in southern Ukraine are expected to reach peak levels after the Nova Kakhova Dam was badly damaged yesterday. Ukrainian officials estimate that about 42,000 people are at risk from the flooding in the Russian and Ukrainian controlled areas along the Dnipro River. Russia's state media reports that at least seven people are missing, while a state of emergency has been declared in the annexed part of Ukraine's Kherson region. I'm joined now by Lindsay Hilsum, who's international editor for Channel 4 News in Ukraine. And Lindsay, the UN has warned that the breach of a dam will have grave and far-reaching consequences for thousands of people. But are we able to see the real magnitude of the disaster now, or is the scale of this just emerging?
I think it will emerge over the months to come. I think about 42,000 people have been affected so far. That means that their houses have been flooded or that their settlements are now underwater. I think that by this evening, the floodwaters will begin to subside as the water flows out to the sea. But, you know, the effect is going to be long-term. The first thing is that a lot of agricultural land will have been flooded. And this is a part of Ukraine which is very important for the harvest. It's important for grain, that's for Ukraine itself, but also grain which may be exported across the Black Sea. So it could have an impact in, you know, on countries which rely on Ukrainian grain. You know, Ukraine is one of the biggest exporters of wheat in the world. And then it may have a military impact too, because although this was not the most likely place where the Ukrainian counteroffensive would occur, it was possible that they would try and cross the river there and go in, you know, and attack the Russians in the southeast corner of the country. And obviously, if the area is flooded and, you know, this is flooding which will affect the floodplain for weeks or months to come, well, you can't drive tanks and armour through marshland. So that could have an impact too.
Now, as you said in your report last night, three possible explanations were offered for what happened. The Ukrainians did it, the Russians did it, or it just collapsed. But in terms of how this is viewed, if it was the Russians who did it, this is, under the Geneva Convention, a war crime, isn't it?
Well, that's right, because the dam is it supplies electricity, the hydroelectric plant of the dam supplies electricity to 3 million people. Now, the Russians who control that area had already taken that electricity off the grid, so it was no longer helping Ukrainians. But still, a dam is civilian infrastructure, and so an attack on a dam is regarded under the Geneva Convention as a potential war crime, because it's civilian infrastructure that helps civilians, and that should be off limits. But of course, in this war, we've seen the Russians attack many things which could be regarded as civilian infrastructure. And certainly every time they attack Kyiv or other cities with their missiles and with the drones, which are not, it seems, targeted at military infrastructure, but randomly and certainly harming civilians. Well, that's the same kind of thing. The thing with the dam, of course, is that it is a massive problem. It's a disaster for Ukraine and for Ukrainians.
But given that this counteroffensive was launched in the last couple of days, do you get the sense from people you've spoken to there that there was an expectation that something like this could happen, that the Russians would retaliate in this way or some other way to cause maximum disruption?
Well, there are a number of views on that. I mean, some of the Ukrainian officials are saying that this is a distraction, that the reason that the Russians have done this, and they're blaming the Russians, although that's not proven yet. They say that this is to divert Ukrainian resources from the counteroffensive. But I don't think that that's clear. There has been worry that the Russians would do this for some time, and there were reports last year that they had mined the dam. But then, you know, the Ukrainians have also shot at that dam, you know, in the past, because they were looking at whether they could use that as a way of, you know, countering the Russian control of that area. So I don't think we should jump to conclusions. But the counteroffensive, I think, continues in as much as it started, which is with probing operations, you know, trying to attack Russian command and control facilities in the east and the southeast. But as yet, we haven't seen any major maneuvers of armor crossing the steppe. We haven't seen those kind of pictures. And I think that what we're likely to see in the days and weeks to come is an awful lot of artillery fire from both sides.
Lindsay, can you give me a sense of what it's like where you are now in light of what happened yesterday and in light of the counteroffensive you've just been telling us about?
Well, I've only just arrived in the country, and I was in Lviv in the west of the country last night, and things are pretty calm there. We're heading for Kyiv now. Now, of course, for the last few weeks, Kyiv has been very noisy at night, and I think that everybody's nerves are on edge because there have been so many missile attacks and attacks by these Iranian-made drones. Now, on the whole, those are shot down by Ukrainian air defenses, and luckily not that many people have been killed or harmed. But, of course, it's just a constant, it's constant anxiety, it's constant noise through the night. This isn't a Russian attempt at trying to disturb the morale of the Ukrainians, of trying to wear down the civilian population. And I think that although Ukrainians say to me that they will not be worn down, they're determined to defend their country, you can't underestimate how wearing and difficult this is.
Lindsay, thank you very much for joining us, and we wish you a safe journey. That's Lindsay Hilsum, International Editor with Channel 4. I'm also joined on the line now by Scott Lucas, Professor Emeritus in International Politics at the University of Birmingham. Good morning to you, Scott. Now, the first thing I want to ask you about is the US intelligence that the American President Joe Biden says that they have, that they claim points towards Russia as being behind the dam explosion. Have they released that intelligence? Have we seen it?
No, it has not been released, Claire. However, last night, two U.S. intelligence officials and an intelligence official from another Western country did let the media know that the Americans have, quote, indications from the intelligence so far that the Russians are behind the attack. I think the reason why we don't have the release yet is, of course, indications Russia is behind the attack does not even confirm that Russia is behind the attack or even establish probability yet. So I think that evidence will be going, they'll go through it today. I mean, they'll be consulting not only with military experts, they'll be consulting with engineers, they'll be consulting with ballistics experts to review what would have caused the collapse of this dam. I think the one thing I'll say to you right now, Claire, talking to analysts and experts in the last 24 hours about this is, it's the size of the damage that appears to point to an explosion that was set off on the dam itself. This is a dam of about 2 kilometers in length. 600 meters of that dam collapsed, the midsection. And military experts will tell you that the amount of force required to bring down that section of the dam would have been hundreds of pounds of explosives. And even a bomber, even bombing from an aircraft, is unlikely to carry that amount of explosive. So the most logical explanation, not proven, but the most logical explanation is that someone put a lot of explosive on that dam and then set it off.
Mm-hmm. And then if you look at it in the context of the counteroffensive from Ukraine, does Russia stand to benefit from this?
Oh, I'm going to turn it over to a man named Alexander Soldo, who is the Russian proxy governor of the Kherson region where this occurred. And he said just a few hours ago, from an operational and military tactical point of view, this puts us in a better situation. So he let the cat out of the bag.
Can I ask you about these reports? The Washington Post are running these today, that the Biden administration had intelligence that Ukraine planned an attack on the Nord Stream pipeline 3 months before we know it was bombed. Now, this is the pipeline people will probably know. It runs from Germany to Russia. How reliable are those reports, Scott?
Well, I think we've got to be careful with the reports in terms of establishing exactly what they're reporting on. What the Washington Post is revealing is one U.S. intelligence document from June 2022. That's 3 months before the Nord Stream pipeline was bombed. This was one of the documents that was effectively stolen by a young National Guardsman named Jack Teixeira, who put it on a Discord server. Now, that one document says that a European service told the Americans that they had been told by one individual in Ukraine, that there was a team of divers being overseen by the Ukrainian military that could carry out such an operation. I think we should add that in March, U.S. officials actually did let the media know that they were reviewing intelligence, which indicated that a pro-Ukrainian team could have carried out the attack. And Der Spiegel, the German publication, published, I think, the most interesting account to date, saying that a ship called the Andromeda had carried the divers to the site. Now, if you put all of that together, it establishes the possibility that Ukraine blew up the Nord Stream pipeline, but that's still not a huge amount of evidence yet. So I think what we look at it is plausible that Ukraine blew up the Nord Stream pipeline, but that this evidence so far is not conclusive, which is exactly what three investigations by Sweden, Denmark, and Germany are all saying. They still cannot attribute responsibility.
What's interesting about this report is the U.S. intelligence seems to be based on a leak from Ukraine, and you'd wonder what the implications of that are for the relationship between the Ukraine and the U.S.
I mean, I think from an intelligence point of view, look, after, almost 15 months of this invasion, the intelligence services are working together very, very closely on the priority of defeating Russia or pushing Russia back. I don't think this causes a problem for the intelligence services as much as it causes a bit of a ripple, which is this is the second story now that the Ukrainian military, without President Zelensky being informed, was running an operation. The second is that they had a network inside Russia that carried out the drone attack on the Kremlin last month. And I think the Americans may, and Europeans, will have had a quiet word with the Ukrainian military saying, look, if you carried out this type of operation, it is not useful from a political standpoint for it to be exposed. Y'all need to be a little bit more careful about this.
Scott, thank you very much for joining us once again. That's Scott Lucas, who's Professor Emeritus in International Politics. Now, the Minister for Public Expenditure, Pascal Donoghue, will join me in the studio next.
Text 51551 today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.